Super Talk 94.1 FM at AM 930 WRVC present HD Radio, live from Christopher's Eats, powered by the Herald Dispatch, Huntington's hometown newspaper. This is your chance to talk to Chuck Landon, columnist for the Herald Dispatch, and Mike Hamrick, director of athletics at Marshall University. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or 877-420-8255. Now, here's your host, Mike Kirtner.
Pleasure to be with Mike Hamrick, the athletic director at Marshall University, as well as one Chuck Landon from the Herald Dispatch as we set you guys up. Missed you guys the last couple of weeks. Homecoming, Mike, last week, a busy week for you. Productive, good crowd at the game, fantastic win. It had to be Mike Hamrick Day in most cases on Saturday.
Actually, we're going to name it Chuck Landon Day.
Every day is Chuck's Day.
That's true. It was a beautiful day.
It really was.
It was one out of two. It was a beautiful day, and it was a good win. The crowd wasn't great.
What's your expectations for a crowd there, Mr. Landon?
A homecoming crowd, my expectation was the 3-0 benchmark.
Well, we were close.
If you take the 5,000
in the press or in the parking lots, if they would come in,
that was tickets
then
sold.
You would have no, tickets sold was what was announced.
That's what I said. Tickets sold. 28-8. Yeah. That was tickets.
If you don't
sold.
Have turnstiles, you can't tell how
it
many.
Wasn't,
it See, wasn't, he missed me. He already missed me.
It that's wasn't true. People in seats. There was not 28-8.
He's always, inside. No matter what happens, he's always got to be critical.
I understand.
That's what he gets paid for.
You know, it's funny. Right. You were talking about the parking lot. That's not an issue just at Marshall. That happens a lot. A lot of people go for the special aspect.
I know.
And are you still blowing
train 30
whistle?
Minutes.
Okay.
The horn.
I don't recall hearing it this year.
No, it is. It reminds people. And a lot of people, you can see it. I stand up in the top of the press box, and when they blow it and watch them, you can see them start to pack up.
That's a great idea.
A lot of them do, but a lot of them just come and hang out there, and it was homecoming, and a lot of people saw a lot of people they hadn't seen for years, and I saw a lot of old friends. Chuck didn't get to see a lot of his old classmates because most of them are either in nursing homes or dead. So it was a great homecoming.
Not true. I saw a buddy of mine that played baseball.
Oh,
Marshall.
A buddy. He got one.
Came in from Florida. He came by and
you stopped by the nursery to introduce yourself to your next girlfriend. So it was all good.
Oh yeah, I wish that was true.
But it was a good weekend, and you say a great win. Every win's a great win.
It is a great win. You know what? One of the notes, and Chuck, I'll just ask you this: we always talk Marshall's defense is the star of the game now.
It is, and that's it's an interesting thing. Last year, this time, we're all like, "Oh my gosh, it's the worst defense we've ever laid eyes on," and to see the 180 turnaround is just astonishing. And there's a lot of players on this defense that weren't. Either they were injured and missed last season, or they weren't even in the program yet. And, of course, the coaching. There's only one coach on the defensive side of the ball who was here last year. And it really shows because, defense has been the staple so far this season. It's what's really carried them.
Mike?
I think what I really see is when you go 3-and-out on offense, if we did that last year, I'd go, oh, gosh, we're down a touchdown. Then if you don't score, then, oh, gosh, we're down two touchdowns. But now if we go 3-and-out or don't score on a drive,
you're going to hold.
We feel like we can go out on the field and stop the other team, and we've been able to do that. And Chuck's right. I mean, there's a lot of new guys, but there's a lot of guys that played last year. I think they're better coached. I think the scheme's better. There's some kids that came in. Neville Hewitt, a junior college player. Came in, Gary Thompson, Josh Brown, two freshmen who are going to be really good. Corey Tindall's a freshman. A.J. Leggett's a freshman. I mean, you got a lot of young guys.
I remember sitting with you last
defense.
Year at Purdue and watching you showing how young this team was and how it was coming together. You're starting to see that now. Do want to remind folks, you want to talk to Mike or to Chuck, 399-8255. That's area code 304-399-8255 or toll-free 877-420-8255 for those of you out there on App Land. So you can certainly give us a call. Mike, one of the old adage in college was for years and years just to hire a head coach on the offensive side of the ball. Has that been your philosophy, or is that starting to change a little bit, or does it make that much difference anymore?
Well, I think I, I think coordinators, the key to me now, I think, is coordinators.
I think so, too.
I think coordinators are so critical, the quality of coordinator that you have. And I'm from an athletic director's perspective, I'm very pleased with the two coordinators we've had. I mean, you've got Bill Legg, who's been a coordinator at Purdue. He's coached all over the country. His teams have been proven to be very successful. He had several opportunities to leave in the off season for bigger, better perceived coordinator jobs. He stayed. Chuck Heater, I mean, you don't have to say anything, but look what the defense has done. He's coached at Florida. He's coached at Notre Dame. He's coached at Colorado. He's coached at Washington. He's coached all over the country, and he's been a defensive coordinator. So I think coordinators are key, but somebody has to hire those coordinators, and Coach Holliday's done a great job bringing in Bill Legg, who he's known for years, a local guy, Poca, via Poca, Poca Dot, and he had a relationship with Coach Heater when they won a national championship together at the University of Florida. So, you know, obviously you got to hire the right head coach, but you also have to be able, that head coach and the AD in together have to be able, from, you say, why an AD? Well, you have to come up with the money to pay people. And our coordinators are right now are getting paid double of what any coordinator's ever been paid pretty much at Marshall. And it just keeps going up, and we've been able to go out and raise that money and get the money. And I think we have two excellent, excellent coordinators. And when you look on the defensive side of it, Mike and Chuck, our linebackers coach was a very successful defensive coordinator at Chattanooga, Adam Fuller. So
he's a really key guy.
He really is. He's an excellent football coach. And then, you know, you've got a guy like J.C. Price, who was an All-American at Virginia Tech, who coached years at James Madison when they won a lot of games with Mickey Matthews, who was a great defense. He was a defensive coordinator.
Yes, he was.
Excellent defensive coordinator. And then Sean Cronin, who coached here on Doc's first staff, then went to Temple, came back. All of a sudden, you look in that defensive room, you've got four guys that have coached at a lot of places and have had a lot of success.
Chuck, what are some of the qualities you see in a coordinator that makes a good coordinator? You've been around this a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's just their experience. But
what gets them to the experience?
I always like a coordinator that you see creativity from him. And that's what was interesting with Chuck Heater last week was when he came with on the third in an obvious passing situation. He came with his radar defense, which was just a lot of fun. You had one guy with his hand on the ground, and then you had six guys just kind of wandering around.
Had he done that before anywhere?
I don't know about anywhere.
It's been done before.
He hadn't done it here, and they're just wandering around. And you know, the quarterback's is his first read is the middle linebacker. You know, that's he IDs him, and he sees what the coverage is going to be based on him. We couldn't find the middle linebacker. He's wandering around.
I couldn't find him either.
He's wandering around the field. Well, that, I like stuff like that. That's showing creativity.
Fans like things like that.
And you're coaching.
My wife didn't like it.
That just shows your coaching.
She goes, what in the world are those guys doing? They don't even know where to line up.
But, that just creates chaos for the offense. And it's coaching. That's what you do. You do things to mess up the opponent.
Well, the fact that Saletta doesn't like this is Mike's wife. I mean, that's out of the playbook.
Probably out against FAU.
So we're not going to do that anymore. We all know.
And she's going on the trip. So
there you go. She definitely can't do that.
No, seriously, we're sitting there at the and they pull that defense, and she goes, those guys don't know where to go. What are they doing? And actually, two of them ran into each other as they were moving around. So very creative. I've seen that before, not at Marshall.
Did you know it was coming? You saw it first time, too?
No. Chuck knew it was coming, but he couldn't report on it because we tell him what he can and can't report on when it comes to practice.
Let's get that started. Yeah. Let's just go there.
I missed him. It's been 2 weeks.
I understand.
Come on.
I just wait for a source to tell me.
A source. Oh, he's got all kinds of sources.
I understand. Well, speaking of sources, Chuck, let's just go ahead and go into that. You have alluded to the fact you're a little bit concerned about some of the depth with Marshall and some of the things going on there. Is that fair to say that there may be some issues on the horizon?
There's a little problem on the offensive line now. They've got some depth. It's gone from a great situation, great depth where they could rotate people on the O-line, to now they're about one more injury away from really being in trouble. And it's happened. Jordan Jeffries had a you know, who's an outstanding kid. He's as good a kid as is in the program. He's going to be an engineer someday. Very bright kid. And he had a hip condition where they were telling him, hey, if you keep playing, it's going to affect your quality of life, you know, when you're down the road. And so now he's going to act like almost a student assistant. But he was a starter at left tackle all last season. And now suddenly you've lost him. Now Josh Lovell's left the program, you know, for personal reasons. He was the starting left guard all last season. So now you've lost him. And you've got a true freshman, which you never want to play if you don't have to, in the offensive line. Now you've got him backing up both guard spots, and he actually took more snaps at both guard spots than either of the starters at those guard spots last game.
And from what I understand, played outstanding on Saturday.
He did. He graded out the lowest of all the offensive linemen still. But you got to expect he's a true freshman.
But as a freshman, but you know, Mike, everywhere I've ever been, every team, this happens to him.
Sure.
One position, invariably, you lose some players,
yep,
and you lose depth. Other than offensive line, our depth is really, really good. And, you know, you got a true freshman playing. Clint Van Horn didn't really play last week. He had a concussion, so he's coming back. And he's a really good football player out of Beckley, West Virginia.
The big picture, the problem with the big picture is you look, both starting offensive tackles are seniors. And Clint Van Horn is the only other one with any experience. Everybody else is a freshman.
Redshirting.
So, you know, the rule of thumb is you usually want to give an offensive lineman 2 years, if possible, before he's ready to start. And so that's becoming a little bit of a dicey situation.
Well, and that's where you go the junior college route. Gage Niemeyer was a junior college player and has panned out well.
There's been very few Gage Niemeyers. There's
Neville,
nothing harder
Neville
to
Hewitt,
find.
Neville Hewitt, junior
college.
Well,
but I'm saying there's nothing harder to find
he's
than
panned
a junior
out.
College offensive tackle.
Well.
The hardest thing to find.
Well, but we found one. And I think they'll find another one.
It's one in a row.
And you've got a couple big freshmen who are redshirting that have the potential to be pretty good players.
I heard a great line from another coach, made the comment, it only takes 1 year to hurt a program, but it takes about 3 years to build it back up. Fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you have back-to-back bad recruiting years,
exactly,
I think that can hurt a program because you're 2 years behind, and you've got to, you know, kids that come into a program, very seldom can they really help you win big as true freshmen, and then even
football especially
a little more as a redshirt freshman. You got to get kids into their third and fourth year.
They turn into men,
and then they change, their bodies change
big time.
And you know, this is Coach Holliday's fourth year, and these guys are starting. You're starting to see it. That guys turn into, especially on defense. You're starting to see Jacques Samuel, Steve Dillon, Rashad Myers, Jermaine Holmes, Evan McKelvey.
Mike, in
DJ,
fairness,
DJ Hunter's in his third year. You know, you're starting to see these guys really turn into players that can go out and play on defense. And I'm talking about defense. And you know, everybody says, well, offense is, well, we're first in the conference in offense.
Plus,
we're 28th in the country in total offense.
Yeah.
Let's not get too down on our offense, as some people sitting around this table do. But you're looking at these defensive guys, Mike. This is the eighth best defense in the country, and that's including a game against Virginia Tech, who's a top 25 team, who's 5-1. Who's their loss to? Alabama.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Ohio University, who's 5-1. Who's their loss to? Your next favorite
Louisville.
School.
Louisville. Yeah.
They're
7th in the country.
They've won 10 games,
yeah,
both those two programs. And so our defense is 8th in the country, and those two teams count. So, and both
True.
and both those games were one play away from a win.
Very true.
I mean, so you're in the fourth year, you're starting to see these guys really, running backs, you're starting to see a Stu Butler really mature into it. And he's a sophomore, Mike. Kevin Grooms, Chuck, until he hurt his ankle, he's starting to turn into a really good, solid player. Our center, Chris Jaspers, junior, you know, he's in his third year. He's really actually, he's in his fourth year because he redshirted. He's really turning into a really, really
good player. He's their best offensive lineman.
He grades out. You're right, Chuck.
He is.
You're absolutely right. He grades out 90. He graded out 92%, I think, on this past week, and at least that's what he told me. So,
Chuck, you were talking about the offensive side of the ball. Shuler right now in 12th in the nation with almost eight receptions per game. We thought that's actually down.
Yeah. It's actually down. And that's actually a lot less than he was expecting. He and his grandfather projected a lot more than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that story, like I said last year.
Well, if you know Tommy Shuler, he probably projected he'd catch 350 footballs this year.
But the story with he and his grandma. And then let's talk about the kickoff. 64% of Marshall's kickoffs are going into the end zone.
Well, again, we had an issue with that last year, and Coach Holliday went out and found a kicker. Now, I'm not sure where this kid's from, if you've ever heard him speak.
He's Armenian.
Armenian.
What's Kara?
I can't pronounce how do you pronounce his name?
What? Well, Doc calls it Curry.
Curry.
I can't even pronounce it.
Okay.
But it's
just for spelling purposes, C-U-R-R-A-J.
Albanian.
Albanian. Steve Cotton has chipped in and let us know.
What'd you say was?
Albanian.
Oh, what'd you say before?
I said Armenian.
Armenian, same Albanian.
Thing. They're the same thing. I mean, they're from a long way away.
They're out there.
This is sports, not geography, folks.
Same part of the world. You know what? He kicks the ball in the end zone.
He kicks the ball in the end zone, and it's getting better.
It's the part of the world where they call soccer football.
Yeah, I don't care if it's a football or a football. As long as he kicks it in the end zone.
And you know what? And he doesn't have the strongest leg on the team.
No.
That's the remarkable
part. Right now, though, that's the mark. You want every ball in the end zone.
Well, you want to kick it out of the end zone, Mike, because when you kick it, when they don't run it out, there's probably and Chuck can figure this out. Matter of fact, Chuck told me this yesterday. He says, you know, Mike, when you kick the ball out of the end zone or they don't run it out, Mike, there's actually a zero chance that they're going to score a touchdown.
You know, I had a good day. I didn't even see him yesterday.
And I said, Chuck, did you come up with that by yourself, or did Grant Traylor help you?
There you go. Grant's always in the mix. Cato's obviously continues a phenomenal career. 22nd. I don't know when this statistic came around, but I love this one. With points responsible for, 22nd in the nation. He's also 23rd in the nation with passing touchdowns with 11. This guy, how far is he going to go, Mike?
Well, I'm not a guy that looks at the record.
I know we've played with the name on the back.
Right,
on the front.
No, but I'm saying Chuck knows a lot of the – I mean, tell me if I'm right or wrong, Chuck. I mean, he's on target to probably break most of the passing records.
Well, sure, because
– And you're talking about two of the greatest quarterbacks, in my opinion, in college football to play here, Chad Pennington and Byron Leftwich. Isn't he on target to break some of those records?
The offenses were a lot different, too.
Yeah, but
I mean, Chad.
But,
I mean,
but nobody.
Chad and Byron had 1,000-yard rushers same backfield.
But when you look at that,
they're not, and they weren't throwing 50 passes a game at times.
I know, but when you look at the records, there's not an ass.
They never ran.
No, there's not. Oh. There's not. But I'm just saying, there was a guy that broke. There was a guy. Shoot, I can't remember his first name. Hickman. Little point guard Hickman that broke Mike D'Antoni's assist record.
JoJo Hickman.
JoJo Hickman. Now, was he a better point guard than Mike D'Antoni? I don't think so. So, there you go. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
It's time. I understand
But if you look at our offense is trying to become more balanced.
And I think it's doing it.
And it is.
And it is. And I think that's good.
It's very good.
Last year, we could not run the football.
No.
What's the difference?
This year, well, the difference is the offensive line. And those freshman running backs that played last year are better.
Well, let's give credit to Ezra Talaferro.
And he's better.
You know, he's gone in there and
absolutely.
And the difference in a little bit the difference between him and Stu Butler and Grooms, and this is no criticism of Stu Butler Grooms, is he's a little tougher.
Yeah.
He's a little harder. He's more
a little harder to tackle.
He's a kid that's better running up inside than they are.
No question.
They're more elusive and they've got more speed, but he's somebody that will bang it up in there and that's fits this offense better.
And he's given them time to mature and play. And then next year you're gonna have Grooms and Butler, and then Remy Watson will be your third physical running back.
And there's two other running backs sitting out.
That's right.
I keep hearing the best is yet to come.
Well, you never know. We'll see.
But you're optimistic.
You know, I'm a Kevin Grooms fan. I think Kevin Grooms, if he hadn't have been hurt today, he's phenomenal.
Oh, he's just got to stay healthy.
He's got to stay healthy.
I mean, an ankle on him, and
he
may not be 100% threat all
season.
Ankle,
that's right. An ankle on a running back is, they're thoroughbreds.
That's
especially one like him.
Yeah.
Where it's all about the speed and being
the
able
and
to
the
cut and
up the field.
And a high ankle sprain on him. Yeah, I mean, I'd seriously doubt if he's 100% all season.
He looked pretty good this week.
He looked better.
Yeah.
He looked better.
Chuck, I do have Cato right now second in the conference with 272 yards per game. Who's ahead of him?
Shane Carden at East Carolina.
Okay. I couldn't find it, and I was just curious. I mean, Cato's, again, having a heck of a year. Let's go through this. In conference right now, Cato's second. Haig is first in scoring with kicks and also has not had a miss. I know that's a jinx thing with him. I'm hitting on wood.
This will be the last radio show.
Blocks, that's because blocks don't count as misses.
There you go. But, you know, I mean, this is an impressive football year, and people need to come out and see this team. This is a very, very good football team.
Very solid football team.
Absolutely.
To date.
And there's not a – it's not one of these things that's a, you know, Randy Moss or something like that. You've got a quality football team.
Well, you've got a lot of good football players. I mean,
you saw this coming when you hired Doc.
I knew we would get better players, and you know you can't win without good players. I mean, it starts with the players, and I knew we would get better players. I knew we would get better athletes, and than we had in the program. We didn't have, you know, and somebody was at the game Saturday and on the sideline with me, and we were talking about watching the kids warm up, and he says, you know, I'm like, 5 years ago, there were a lot of fat football players out here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any fat football players.
But you can't. You can if you're going to run the tempo that they ran last season. Now, they're not running it as much this season. But last season, you couldn't have it.
Still, San Antonio had some fat football players. Okay.
Now, just because he's Samoan, reason that they're going
I didn't, back. I didn't single a Samoan out, Chuck.
That was the fat guy.
We got some fat sports writers, too, to cover us. But anyway, that's probably not politically correct.
Probably not.
But they're good, you chose to go on that radio show.
I can't help that.
But they're good. but they're good guys. But my point is, our kids look on getting off the bus. They look good.
They look like football.
And we got
players.
A great strength and conditioning coach who's done Scott Sinclair, who's done a wonderful job.
Hey, you know, it's taken a while to put the program together, but hey, you got it going. It's all
and
good.
Our facilities are getting better, and we're going to continue to recruit better players.
No question, guys. We got coming to Florida Atlantic. It's kind of Marshall South coming up here next Saturday. We'll come back and talk about that in just a minute.
Storm Tracker 13 on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
We have nice quiet conditions, and after a gorgeous day, we're looking for the lows to fall down to about 49 degrees in a partly cloudy sky. Again, we'll have a few clouds, but a lot of sunshine. The high right around 74 for our Friday afternoon. We're looking for the lows back in the low 50s. Friday night football games looking phenomenal. And Saturday, sunshine aplenty and the high temperature back in the upper 70s. I'm Spencer Atkins in your official severe weather station, SuperTalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Kentucky Automotive, just off the Grayson exit of I-64, is proud to lay claim to being a little bit different. At Kentucky Automotive, they like their competition. They like the fact that they care. Kentucky Automotive even likes the fact that the other car dealers scream from the rooftops about great prices they offer. You see, at Kentucky Automotive, they just don't brag. Kentucky Automotive just quietly makes great deals, whether it's a new Ford car or truck, a Jeep, a Chrysler, or pre-owned vehicle. Kentucky Automotive in Grayson gets the deal done. And that may be worth shouting about, but we'll let you do that.
Roosters! A fun casual joint wants to be your headquarters for food, spirits, and sports. Every night is late night happy hour from 10 to close, which means you get a dollar off selected appetizers, 275 tall drafts, 225 short domestic drafts, and 275 well drinks. Roosters, a fun casual joint, Pullman Square, downtown Huntington.
Stay save up to 70% during the Any Size One Low Price event at Mattress Warehouse. Purchase any size mattress, your choice, twin, full, queen, or king, for one low price. Choose a Sealy with gel memory foam or a Sealy Posturepedic firm, your choice, twin, full, queen, or king, just $199 each piece. Ask about free same-day delivery and take 5 years to pay with 0% financing. Get any size mattress for one low price for a limited time, only at Mattress Warehouse. Details available at mattresswarehouse.com or in store.
Be in control of your future by signing up for some of these great classes at the Cabell County Career and Technology Center in Huntington. Interior design, computers, industrial electricity, heating and air, machine trades, and many more. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Get a jump start on an exciting future. Call 304-528-5106. Cabell County Career and Technology Center, 1035 Norway Avenue, Huntington. Enroll now.
Live from Christopher's Eats, this is HD Radio on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC.
We are back once again with Mike Hamrick, Athletic Director of Marshall University, and Chuck Landon from the Herald-Dispatch. If you want to give us a call, it's 399-8255. Mike, it's that time of year that we kind of break out the pretenders from the contenders, and actually you got a basketball game here before your next home football game. You got an exhibition game as well as a scrimmage, so we want to bring that up next week. We're going to be broadcasting from the Henderson Center for the scrimmage game. So Chuck, you were quick to point that out to us, so you don't have to drive as far. I know your real
Chuck
motivation.
Chuck didn't point that out. Woody did.
That's true too. Woody did. I'm sorry. Woody, you deserve credit for
Chuck
that.
Doesn't know what he's doing tomorrow.
I'm just trying to get. I'm just during the break. I'm just trying to get Mike not to go Holgerson on his headset.
a new adjective. I like that one.
Easy, Chuck.
Easy, Chuck. Easy, Chuck. Anyway, Chuck, I will say this. You were all concerned about having an off week before Marshall played. Looks like they broke that hex last week. And, Mike, you had a starting time at 2 o'clock. We've started at 2 o'clock. We're going to be starting at noon. We started at 7. I know a lot of that has to do with TV. Do you have a favorite time?
Everything has to do with TV. The only game that we played that wasn't televised that we was the 6:30, and I like 6:30 Saturday night.
I love
games
6:30 games
because that gives and people go, why 6:30? Well, first of all, I don't have to hear the print media whine about meeting their deadline. Right. So that gives them an extra half hour, and I don't have to hear them whine and groan and complain like they do. Plus, I mean, if you live in Beckley or you live in Charleston or you live in Columbus or you live in Clendenin and or Elk View and you want to. Or Campbell's Creek, or wherever Chuck lived, Cooper's Creek.
I lived in Big Chimney.
Big Chimney, okay.
Or up the.
That's right.
Up the creek.
You know what? If you can come at 6:30 and the game's over at 9:30, maybe you get out by 10, you get home in a decent hour. At half, I believe that half hour makes a difference.
It does make a difference. I saw a survey one time, and they threw the times in. It was 2, 4, and 7. They threw in 4. It's kind of throwaway time, and 4 was one that the fans preferred because they had time to do their home chores and then go home and have dinner after the game.
Well, and what you don't understand is a lot of people work till 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Sure. Yep. Well, how about a 5 o'clock start like we're going to have this Saturday? That's a little different.
You know what, Chuck? I don't mind that, especially on the road.
But it's just different. I've never heard of a 5 o'clock start.
You know the difference between a 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock start on the road on this trip. We're projected to get back at 11:30.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it's a 7 or 7:30, we're not getting those kids home until 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and that makes a difference.
I've already looked ahead at when the Tulsa arrival is.
Yeah, that's going to be a late one.
That's going to be a late one.
But you know what, Mike? We have a couple extra days, though, to get ready for the next game because that's a Thursday game. But, you know, our next three games are noon because they're all three television.
Right.
Oh, you mean home games?
Huh? Next three home games.
Chuck, last week, Conference USA, Rice able to win at Florida Atlantic by only four.
No, that was at Rice.
Well, that's right. We went through this today at Rice.
But that was two weeks ago.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. That's to me is an important football game.
Well, it's important. It's important because it's East versus West, and it's showing. I think. That the West isn't nearly as strong as what we thought it might be at one point. You know, of course, we're basing a lot of that on Tulsa,
right?
Which is really just absolutely collapsed.
Yep.
And Rice is kind of the now the leader in the West by default. Although I'm not sure. I don't know. Do they? Well, they'd have to play UTSA, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Rice does.
That's a good game. I want to see who
they
wins.
They play Saturday at 3.
I want to see
they play
the right.
Texas San Antonio. I think they play
this Saturday
at UTSA at 3.
That's correct.
I think that's going to tell the tale for the West Division. Right there. But it's the West isn't looking that good now, and there's an indication. FAU's got one conference win.
Which could lead to the final game at home for Mark being the championship game.
And then, boom, they're there, and they took, Rice had to come back, to win. I mean, we saw their quarterback, Taylor McCard, and he had a terrible game against FAU's defense.
Well, I think FAU's defense a little bit better than what people think.
That's my next question for both of you guys.
They've had a key loss.
Yeah, but
their star, their best DB, their star cornerback, Reeser, is done. He's a redshirt senior. He's torn ACL. He's done. And he was, their coach Carl Pelini made no bones about it. He was their best defensive back. Now, they've got another really good one who's a safety that's got pass breakups, out the wazoo. He's amazing how many pass breakups he's got. The way they're using him,
right.
I guess they're giving him that freedom to roam like the center fielder. But so they've got some injuries in the secondary. But it's interesting. I mean, Grant had that in the paper today. One of their best linebackers was on Miami Central's 6A state champion,
right,
with Tommy Shuler and Cato.
Wow,
right?
How about that?
That's an amazing football.
Wonder
team.
Who told Grant that. I'm sure he didn't find out on his own. Let me. You're talking about teams, and Chuck was talking about FAU. Here's my sleeper team in the West, Chuck, North Texas. And here's why I say that. North Texas beat a very, very good Ball State team.
Well, I'll take your – I'll see your North Texas and raise you a Tulane.
Tulane?
No. They've already beaten North Texas, Mike.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced.
You'll know Saturday when they play East Carolina.
We'll find out a lot about Tulane.
They're
going to be bowl eligible. It's going to happen.
I just think – good, they can play in the New Orleans Bowl and fill that place up.
Yep,
so,
they are. They're going to be bowl eligible.
Well, they're
doing it with running game and defense.
Florida, yep. Let's go back to our game right now, because we'll come back to that, because I think the East Carolina Tulane, I'm with you, I think it tells a lot.
It tells a lot about both of them.
This week, defensive game, defensive matchup, more than anything else?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, it depends. It is a defensive matchup simply because FAU is going to come out trying to run the ball. And Marshall's defense has got to stop that, because otherwise
they've been fairly successful with it.
Well, FAU had 11 minutes more possession time than UAB last week in Birmingham. Well, there's the key stat in the game right there. If you're not getting them off the field on third down, you're in trouble, because your offense has got 11 less minutes to be out there. So it's on the defense's shoulders to not allow them to keep running the ball. I mean, their quarterback carried 19 times, and their tailback carried 17 times.
And he ended up being the CUSA Player of the Week last week.
They both rushed for over 100 yards. First time in school history they had two 100-yard rushers in one game. And it's like Chuck Heater referred to Jaquez Johnson, their quarterback, as their other tailback, because they run Tebow stuff with him and things like that, where he plays almost like a running back. So they're going to try to establish the run, and so that makes it a defensive game just from that aspect, where Marshall's defense is the key. If they've got to make them they got to slow down that run and make them throw the ball more. And
is he more
get
of a halfback that's a quarterback kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean, he still throws. He threw for 299 last week too, so he still can throw.
And I don't think we know what they beat UAB pretty good. You never know what kind. You never know which UAB team's going to show up. UAB's got some talented players, but you never know when they're going
to
show up.
The other key to me, though, is their only other home game this season. They took Middle Tennessee to overtime.
Yeah, they're going to be there.
And Middle Tennessee showed how good their defense is against East
Carolina.
Exactly.
So that tells you a little something.
At the end of the day, you can compare scores: who beat who, who beat. That doesn't make just go play.
Go play.
Chuck said it's going to be a running game. You got to stop the run.
Sure.
If you're going to win football games, I don't care who's playing who. If you can stop them from running the ball consistently, you can win a football game. Last year, we couldn't stop anybody from running it or throwing it. This year, nobody who's run the ball on us, Chuck. Nobody's run really. I mean, up and down
fair.
The field. I mean, when you're number 8 in total defense in the country and you played a good Ohio team and a good Virginia Tech team, and you know what was amazing I saw last week? Let me, before I lose my train of thought, did you see the Charlotte Gardner-Webb score?
No. Charlotte beat them. I knew that.
52-50 or something. It's close. How about that?
Well, here's the stat which you were talking about.
Wow. There,
Marshall's defense has only allowed one 100-yard rusher.
This season?
Yes.
Who was that? I can't
Virginia
remember.
Tech.
Virginia Tech.
The Edmonds kid. But that's a triple overtime game, too.
That's true. Good
so
point.
Factor that
so
in.
Nobody in regular,
so you gotta,
regular
so you got to factor that into that end of it, too, is triple overtime. So.
You know, and
that's
if we,
impressive stuff.
Well, again,
it really
it's
is.
Back to if you can stop. And, you know, I'm not a coach, but if you can stop the run, you got a really good chance of winning this
well,
football
that's the
game.
First thing, that's the first thing you got to do on defense.
You know, Michael, the funny thing about it, we're talking about FAU, we're talking about San Antonio. Marshall suddenly is one of the deans of the conference. But when all this transition takes, you're one of the longstanding members in this thing. Has it changed any kind of relationship with the school, with the conference at all?
No.
It's because you're such a humble man.
We are humble here at Marshall. It just means
that's because you've got the most media coverage in Conference USA, so we have nothing
there
to be humble about.
Herdzone.com.
But, and without that... You know, who takes the open week off, by the way. And anyway, we got
Herd Insider.
We digress.
GoHerd.com.
No, it
has, but you have been because the commissioner that hasn't changed.
No.
What changes is that you get a bigger piece of the pie from everybody leaving.
We do.
Than the others.
We sure
you
do.
And Southern Miss and UAB and Rice. You get a bigger piece of the pie
we
because
and
you're
you,
the incumbent.
And UTEP. But,
and Rice.
But, you know, again, I like UTSA coming into our
league. I love it.
I mean,
this conference is better than it's ever been.
They played in the Alamo Bowl Dome or whatever, The Alamo Dome Bowl or whatever. And, I mean, they had 42,000 people there. And they
on the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, that's an up-and-coming and they're going to get real
good.
They
are going to get very good.
And I thought they had a good football team this year. Like Coach Heater said Monday, he said, the team that I watched on film against Arizona, Oklahoma State, Houston, New Mexico, and UTEP, who beat two of those teams on the road that ran up and down the field, he said, our kids after the game were saying, Coach, we didn't see that team out here today. And Coach Heater said to him, well, you guys had a little bit to do with that
I
today.
Think so. How much has travel had to do with that from
no,
Texas?
No, it's okay.
And I'm not taking anything away from Marshall. I don't mean it like that.
And they were without their best player, too. But you know, but that's part of football.
Yeah, I mean, we were out without Jeremiah Taylor, one of our best defensive linemen.
You've been without Grooms all season.
Been out with Grooms. So, I mean, you know, I don't – you lose a player here or there, that's football. And there'll be some players that won't play Saturday that nobody knows about, probably on both teams.
I think one of the key things that happened in the UTSA game is if you watch the fourth quarter of their previous game against Houston, when he threw three Eric Sosa, their quarterback, threw three interceptions, then turns right around in the first quarter, bam, two more picks. And you know that gets to them mentally.
Yeah, it does.
Suddenly there's five picks in the last two quarters of play, and you're like, you know, they're thinking, oh, here we go.
And
again.
He's the only quarterback that program's ever had.
Guys, right. Before we go to break, we do have a quick phone call. Jack, you're on the air with Mike and Chuck. Jack,
how you doing, Chuck? How you doing, Mr. Hammer?
Good.
Yeah, I want to bring up something that's got me a little disturbed. I was watching the experts. So I think they're on Fox or ESPN. I'm not sure which one. They're called the experts. There's four of them. They was talking about the playoff next year in the non-power leagues, and they rated the leagues. They said that the leagues are like this, the AEC, the Mountain West, the MAC. Then they said CUSA was fourth, Sun Belt fifth. And then they went on to say that the Conference USA and the Sun Belt would have a slim to no chance of ever putting a team in one of in that spot next year because they said that there's 10 teams with losing records in Conference USA. Well, they were wrong there. I think there's nine, but that was just, it is bad. But then they said because Tulsa and East Carolina are leaving next year that they just don't think Conference USA and the Sun Belt will ever get a team in that configuration for that one spot. What do you guys think about that? That kind of upset me that they would think Conference USA is only the fourth league out of the five. What do y'all think about that? And I'll hang up and I'll just listen to your answer. Thank you very much.
Well, let me give you my take on that. As you know, the five leagues, the highest ranked team of those five leagues has an automatic spot in the playoffs. So somebody's going. If Marshall, with our schedule this year, let's just make an assumption, Chuck. Let's say we don't make a couple key mistakes against Virginia Tech and Ohio, and we're 5-0. Well, we're probably ranked. Or
right.
Getting votes to be ranked.
Right.
We went out, and we were in the playoff system. I promise you we would be the best team, highest-ranked team. We would go play in the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Bowl in Dallas. We would have an opportunity to play in that. Now, being realistic, the only way I think we would ever have a chance, and again, I could be wrong because Northern Illinois played a horrible schedule this last year and got one of the BCS spots and played Florida State in the Orange Bowl. And they had a loss to a bad Iowa team this last year. But they were the highest.
That just kind of struck me as a perfect storm, though. I don't know that that wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, and it could have been. But those things happen. But if we don't go 12-0, somebody in
right.
one of those other leagues is going to be ranked higher than us. So I
12-0 with a good schedule.
Well, you know.
No, look, just 12-0.
You
can go 12-0 with a
bad
schedule.
I agree with Chuck.
Do you have to beat any BCS team to be 12 and to have an opportunity to?
Well,
if two teams are 12-0, one's beating
every
you have.
Northern Illinois beat Kansas last
All right.
year.
That's what I'm saying.
That was their beat. And Kansas was 1-11.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as BCS teams after this year.
Not after this year, no.
There is no such thing.
You're saying the power. Now they're calling
the power
it the power,
yeah, right.
power conference.
Whatever.
No, you don't have to.
Okay, guys, we were running real late behind. That was a great question, John. Thanks for the call. Let's take a break. A couple of Marshall future opponents made some statements last week. We'll be back right after you hear this.
A car. Greens Auto Sales in Ironton is giving away a car October 26th. Simply stop by Greens Auto Sales in Ironton for a test drive and you're automatically signed up to win the car. You need to be present to win October 26th, so come in today to Greens, buy here, pay here lot, and check out the large selection of SUVs and four-wheel drive starting at $1,000 down and all payments only $200 a month and no credit check. Greens Auto Sales, 4875 State Route 93, Ironton, phone 740-534-9790. Oakwood Homes, alternate Route 10 just off Route 60 Barbersville, can put you in the home of your dreams. And now you can turn your old home into a brand new home. How? Well, Oakwood Homes is now paying more than ever for trade-ins. You want a two-bedroom, how about a three-bedroom, or a four-bedroom home on the lot, all priced just right for you. So turn that old home into a brand new home of your dreams with Oakwood Homes on alternate Route 10, just off Route 60, Barbersville.
Here's another Kindred Community Chatter brought to you in part by
The Country Framer, 1152 South Main Street, Milton, 304-743-8115. Pollux Jewelers, 913 Winchester Avenue, Ashland, near the Ashland Town Center Mall, phone 606-324-3197.
A new book discussion group, Worlds of Wonder, meets the second Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. at the main branch of the Boyd County Library, 1740 Central Avenue. Go to thebookplace.org for more.
You're listening to HD Radio, live from Christopher's Eats on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC.
We're back once again as we're starting to wrap up the HD Radio show with Mike Hamrick, Athletic Director Marshall, Chuck Landon, esteemed columnist from the Herald Dispatch. Guys, we're kind of running a little bit behind here, but I do want to ask you this as we go into future Marshall opponents, the Pirates, Middle Tennessee, or East Carolina, who's the bigger threat to Marshall?
East Carolina is the bigger threat. I mean, but you got to play Middle Tennessee first at Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
So
factor all, put all the pieces in.
So that's the thing. You know, it's not East Carolina game's not going to matter if you don't beat Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
Well, it could.
It could. But I'm saying right now.
You could
right
lose,
now the way it is.
You could technically lose to Middle Tennessee State. and beat East Carolina, and both of us have one loss.
Right.
And we go because the tiebreaker after best
head
record
to head.
Is head to head.
Right.
So
true. That's true.
You know, but you got to hope East Carolina loses a game.
Well, Mike, they just had two players suspended. That's the other question, and I don't want to get deep into that.
One was playing some. The other wasn't playing much. They're not huge losses for them.
Okay, so not an impact
at
all.
They're both wide receivers, but they're not among their best wide
receivers.
Listen,
the most important game right now is Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic's coming off a win.
Yep.
They think they're good. They think they got a good team. And they were impressive at UAB. We lost at UAB now last year. Now, are we a lot better than we were last year? There's no question in my mind.
Well,
you know why I think we're better? The program's getting better. I can remember 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when we were at Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech could have scored 100 points. Virginia Tech had a hard time scoring against us this year. And the athletes at their place and our place are a lot more similar than they were 4 years ago.
And this team's got a little bit more swagger than it's had. It still needs that one impressive win to feel good about itself.
Yeah.
And that could
be
this week, because this is going to be a good matchup, Joe.
Well, it's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah.
Well, they're home. It's only
home.
It's only their second home game of the season.
Yeah.
They're making a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Our kids have to go in and be ready to play, and I think they will.
Well, let's take a look. We're going to take one more quick break, come back and talk about the games this week, come up in conference. It's not too early, Mike, somebody's going to host a championship game. There's all kinds of stuff going. As I said, this is the week where the pretenders get separated from the contenders. So we're going to come back after this final break.
13 on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
We have nice, quiet conditions, and after a gorgeous day, we're looking for the lows to fall down to about 49 degrees in a partly cloudy sky. Again, we'll have a few clouds, but a lot of sunshine. The high right around 74 for our Friday afternoon. We're looking for the lows back in the low 50s. Friday night football games looking phenomenal. And Saturday, sunshine aplenty and the high temperature back in the upper 70s. I'm Spencer Atkins in your official severe weather station, Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Roosters! A fun casual joint wants to be your headquarters for food, spirits, and sports. NFL Sunday. 42 plasma TVs to catch all the games with happy hour pricing from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. $1.95, 16-ounce Yingling or Yingling Light drafts every day till 9 p.m. Roosters, a fun casual joint. Pullman Square, downtown Huntington.
$200 per month, no credit check, no questions asked. Puts you into a car of your choice from Downtown Auto Sales.
Didn't hear that? Listen again.
$200 per month, no credit check, no questions asked. Puts you into a car of your choice from Downtown Auto Sales. Located next to Grayley's Auto Body on 3rd Avenue in Huntington. Valid driver's license, proof of insurance, and a select down payment. Downtown Auto Sales lets you drive off for only $200 per month. But wait, there's more. No interest charges. That's right, 0% interest. Downtown Auto Sales.
Ugh, waiting at the airport can be boring.
Now, you'll want to get there early. Huntington Tri-State Airport is proud to announce the addition of local favorites, Tudor's Biscuit World and Gino's Pizzeria and Pub. When you're flying to sunny Florida or another great destination, you can take a minute and grab a sandwich or have a relaxing drink. Oh, and be sure to stop in our new gift shop to bring home a piece of West Virginia. To plan your next adventure, visit tristateairport.com.
This is HD Radio, live from Christopher's Eats on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC.
Guys, we're in the final wrap here of the HD Radio Show with Mike Hamrick and Chuck Landon. Mike, of course, athletic director at Marshall. Still got a couple minutes for a call if you want to give us a call. 399-8255. Chuck, looking into next week, I think the most interesting matchup is going to be Middle Tennessee and North Texas. That looks like that could be.
Where is that game?
I believe that is at North Texas.
It's interesting because Middle Tennessee's defense appears to be the real deal.
Mike, you agree that?
No, I think North Texas will beat them.
At North Texas.
For some reason, I just think North
Texas. All right,
I'm taking Middle Tennessee in that game.
All right. No wagers because we're not allowed to do that. I'll ask you this question. Is Tulsa finished?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well,
they're finished.
No.
Stick the fork in there.
Chuck is right you off too soon.
Who did they lose to? What are they now? 1-4?
They lost in overtime, I think, to Rice this weekend, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah. Stick the fork in them.
And I think that was at Tulsa, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Hand me a fork!
Chuck, they've got one conference loss.
And
they've played Oklahoma, Bowling Green.
Bowling Green? Bowling Green. The juggernauts of the world. Bowling Green
what's
and
Bowling
Rice.
Green? Where is Bowling Green? What's their record now? Anybody know?
Who knows? Who
Grant,
cares?
Do you know that? Somebody will Google
3-2.
So it is 3-2?
Wow.
Next up, Rice is at San Antonio. We've talked about that a little bit.
That's a fun game.
No, I want to ask you this. Did Marshall take the magic away from San Antonio?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think they're too well coached for that.
I think San Antonio came in here a different environment. Was hot.
Playing indoors does make a difference.
Sosa got turned over two quick times, like Chuck mentioned. Our defense was fabulous.
I think UTSA bounces back.
I think I never like to agree with Chuck, but maybe I'll agree with him.
You like San Antonio with Rice.
All right. You know what? That's big. We want them to beat Rice because, again, you want to have the best record so you can host.
That's the next deal.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the next deal. Bowling Green, were you looking here? Oh, they are 3-0 in conference, 5-1 overall.
Oh, they're 5-1. Oh,
5-1. Not bad. Next up, East Carolina traveling down to Tulsa, both on the way out. Greenway football.
Tulane.
I'm sorry. Tulane. Can Tulane football ever be attractive again, Chuck?
I don't know. They've surprised everybody
so far
this year. East Carolina
smashes them, okay.
I'm not going to say they smash them because East Carolina no one has smashed Tulane yet. Especially not in league play. Their defense has been extremely good.
You know why?
That'll be an interesting
you
game.
You know why?
See if East Carolina can really
somebody told me
on
that
them.
You like to watch the Tulane games.
No,
on
I
TV. Hate. Well, that's what somebody said because you like to see when they put the camera on Joe Montana's wife.
Oh no,
remember her?
I can't even get
she
Tulane.
She was the model.
I can't
where
even get
the world
Tulane
that game. Come from.
Who knows?
I was watching them play.
I was watching
them play Louisiana Tech one night. And they must have put the camera on Joe Montana because his son's the quarterback.
He's not very good either.
Well, you know, his wife was a shaving cream model, I think, or something. I mean,
she had to shave?
No, you know, something. I don't know.
And she's good looking. Okay, whatever you say.
She was a very attractive woman.
I guess you're attracted to a different kind of woman than I am.
And I just remember that. So let's move on.
Well, next up we got UAB struggles. They continue. They play in Alabama under the glare of Auburn, Alabama. I mean, is it time just to make their theme song "The Impossible Dream"? I mean, you said they've got some talent, but
who's UAB playing?
FIU.
They're playing FIU.
Oh, there's an interesting game.
I mean, really,
UAB will beat them.
Yeah, they'll beat them.
Yeah, but you know what? What would you do if you were the athletic director there, Mike? I'm not trying to be critical.
Well, you know, it's a hard
sell.
And they've got a really good athletic director, too. Yeah. Brian Mikan's a good friend of mine, and he works hard. But, I mean, when they announced last week they were playing FAU 11,000. So when they announce 11,000, how many do you think are actually there?
Six.
So, you know what?
The Alabama border regions are never going to let UAB be good. That's just the way it is.
It's the truth.
Well, they've got good people at UAB, and they work hard, and they really want to try to have a good program.
I know.
I just don't know.
Until they have an on-campus facility, they can forget.
And they thought they were going to get one, and at the last minute, like Chuck mentioned, it got shot down.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
They got no chance.
Yeah.
All right, guys, real quick, I've got about 15 seconds. Postseason predictions, Chuck. It's not too early.
I've put it in the paper. The winner of the East Carolina Marshall game, that's for the East Division and the Conference USA Championship.
I mean, if he puts it in the paper, that means it's the gospel.
If you read it.
Amen.
I can't even comment if that's what he said. If it's in the paper, now I'm not sure what paper he's talking about.
The one that you get every morning.
Christmas time, Virginia found out
Gazette?
It's real.
No, you don't get the Gazette.
Guys,
we
got to wrap it up. Listen, great game coming up this weekend. Kickoff at 5 o'clock. You can be here all throughout the area on the IMG Network. So, guys, great show. We'll see you again next week.
John Boy, Mike, and Billy Chuck, Show. Morning, 6 to 10.